You're listening to Simply the Best Sports Take, the best podcast breaking down the best stuff in sports with host Sean Bingham. His takes are so good, he dropped the mic, but then you wouldn't be able to hear him, and that would suck.
Welcome into STB Sports Takes, Simply the Best Sports Podcast. I am your host, Sean Bingham. Thank you for being here. We are on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor Podcasts. Everywhere you get your podcasts, we are there. Please hit that subscribe button. It's been a couple weeks since my last podcast. My apologies. I had some fantastic times abroad. I went to Africa, actually, on a safari. Did some trekking with gorillas. Yes, silverback gorillas, baby gorillas, a whole slew of gorillas, chimpanzees in Uganda. From there, we go to Kenya. We're cruising through basically the Serengeti, the Masai Mara kind of nature preserve area. And there are giraffes, and there are hippos, and there are hyenas, and there are lions, and there are zebras, and there are warthogs. You name it, it's there. We saw it all in the wild. Got to saw lions hunting zebras. Like, this is not some zoo or some petting zoo or some ranch. This is like the true blue African wild, and it was absolutely remarkable. So I was gone for a couple weeks, and I actually thought maybe I'd be able to do a podcast from there. But the Wi-Fi, if you can even call it that, for those not watching, I'm doing quotes with my fingers. The Wi-Fi, if you can call it that, was so bad that we were lucky to even get iMessages sent off. It was horrendous. So, by the way, I'm noticing I've got my fan on. So if there's a little audio thing, I apologize. I'm going to turn it off now. There we go. If there's a little buzz, hopefully it's gone now. But anyway, so that's my excuse for no post the last couple weeks. Obviously, this time of year is the slowest in sports. We saw there is some big golf tournaments and tennis tournaments, and those are kind of fun. But as you know, I like to stick primarily, not entirely, but primarily to the NBA and to the NFL. And neither of those are in full swing right now. But what is in full swing is free agency in the NBA. And that is very fun. So that's going to be the focus of today's podcast. The Jazz traded away Rudy Gobert. They're now in talks of trading away Donovan Mitchell. We're going to talk about that first. Next, after that, we'll talk about Kevin Durant and his situation in Brooklyn, Kyrie Irving as well, Russell Westbrook with the Lakers. So let's start with the Jazz. The Jazz traded away Rudy Gobert, and in exchange for Rudy Gobert, the Jazz got from the Minnesota Timberwolves Malik Beasley,
wah, wah, wah,
Patrick Beverley, Leandro Balmaro, never heard of him, Walker Kessler, meh. Jared Vanderbilt, never heard of him. And then a bunch of picks and swaps. Whoopty freaking do. I'm seeing so many Jazz fans talking about what a great trade this was. This was so amazing. Look at all the stuff we got. It's like, look, we got 10 things for one thing. Morons. Anyone that's even played fantasy football or basketball knows that getting a bunch of things for the superstar doesn't mean you won. Just because you got we got 10 pennies in exchange for a dollar. That's what we just did. To me, this trade showed just how low Rudy Gobert's true value is in today's game. He might be a three-time defensive player of the year. He might be, you know, a shot-blocking force, a very, very good rebounder, an average to above-average scorer. He's all those things, right? But nobody cares. We couldn't get anything for him. Malik Beasley is a 10, 12 points a game kind of guy. Patrick Beverley is just a total pest. He's just a nuisance. If it wasn't for his attitude, he wouldn't even be in the league. His skill set is such that he wouldn't even be in the league if it wasn't for his attitude, which most people hate. You hate him when he's not on your team. I guess you learn to love him if he is on your team. So I'll say that Patrick Beverley, I think he could bring some tenacity that the Jazz have been lacking, maybe some leadership that they've been lacking. I will give him that. Like, his mentality towards the game is very impressive. It's what makes him so annoying to play against. But come on. Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, a bunch of guys none of you have ever heard of, or me for the most part. And then some picks in the future. Draft picks are so stupid. I mean, come on. We're trading for draft picks. We're trading multiple-time All-Star and Defensive Player of the Year for draft picks. That's what Rudy Gobert is worth. So I'm sorry. You guys can be as excited as you want about that trade. I am not. I think it shows just how low Rudy's value truly was. if they, you know, now there's talks that we're going to trade Donovan Mitchell, which I think we should, because we didn't get anything to keep him happy. Like, we will be worse next year for sure than we were last year with our current roster, keeping Donovan even. Like, what we got in return for Rudy Gobert leaves us worse than we were with Rudy Gobert, without question. It's not even a question. And so with that, it's like, well, what's the point in keeping Donovan? Let's just scrap it and let's start over. And Donovan's trade value is going to be much, much higher. And so for those that got excited about what we got from Minnesota, I do not put myself in that camp, then you'll be super excited what we'll be able to get for Donovan Mitchell. I don't know if I will be, because they're talking to the New York Knicks right now about Donovan. And it's like, okay, they've got RJ Barrett. They've got who else that we would maybe want? I mean, Emmanuel Quickly, are we going to get excited about him? To me, like, I just don't see a package where the Jazz win that deal with the Knicks. Julius Randle, are we excited about that? Like, I'm not. And there's even talk that they might not want to include RJ Barrett. It's like, hey, we want your best player, who, by the way, is better than all of our players by far, but we're not willing to include our best player in the package. And the Jazz are actually entertaining it. Like, what? We're going to give up our best player, a bona fide all-star, one of the top 15, 20 players in the entire league, and they're not going to include their best players in the trade back. And we're like, oh, yeah, okay, we want to talk more. What? What? So to me, this is just craziness. I don't see a trade with the Knicks that the Jazz win. I don't care how many picks we get, you guys. I don't care. I don't care how many picks we get. Picks are what's a realistic number? I don't want to say 9 times out of 10 because that's cliche. I would say picks 65% of the time, 75% of the time are meaningless. Totally meaningless. Unless you strike gold and you draft a player like, oh, I don't know, Donovan Mitchell, you know, does it actually mean anything? We got that. It wasn't quite enough. The teams digressed the last couple of years. We're now different coach, different, I guess, Robin to Donovan's Batman, meaning Rudy's out. So our defensive presence is out. Our head coach is out. Now our offensive presence is out. Who are the Jazz even? I think it's great. Let's trade Donovan away, but please just get something valuable for him. Let's not stockpile draft picks. I mean, that's so ridiculous when teams do that. Let's play to win, please. I mean, we already watched a window close that the Jazz had. Like, the fact that the Jazz were that close multiple years in a row and digressed and couldn't get it done, even in years where there were injuries to key players, where we could have had breaks to get further in the playoffs to the finals, last year in particular, when we totally blew it. I'm saying this year. If I say this year, that would mean like the finals that just concluded. Last year would mean the year prior. So even this year, though, we had an injured Luka Doncic in the first round. Couldn't beat the Mavericks. Ridiculous. So I don't know. You guys can get all excited about these draft picks and stuff and keep saying next year is our year. I hate that stuff. I hate it with a passion. Let's play to win right now. We had two all-stars in their 20s on our team, and we're soon going to have zero. And so, to me, it's just a total disappointment. If you're a Jazz fan, I don't know how you can be excited about any of this. Change is good, but like, we changed our head coach. I would have loved to just say, hey, you know what? We changed the head coach. Let's just try and keep it intact. We've got Danny Ainge now in here. Let's try and keep it intact. And, you know, we've got freaking Dwayne Wade as like a 1% owner or whatever. That's proving to be a total bunch of nothing. You know, there was a tweet out there or a video I saw, you know, that he's trying to get Donovan to Miami, which, let's be honest, if he could, he would. Dwayne Wade is absolutely Miami Heat first, Utah Jazz second. And it's because he didn't have to earn anything he was given here in Utah. We literally gave him a percent of ownership or whatever it was. It's something like that. And he didn't pay for it. It was given to him. And so anything free in life is usually not valued as much as those things that are earned. He earned his fame and fortune in Miami. He's not earning any of it in Utah. It's given to him. And so he doesn't care as much about the Jazz. Therefore, I don't think he's having an impact that we hoped he would. Certainly not the impact that I thought he would. We've digressed since Ryan Smith took over. I think he went woke patrol. And when you go woke, you go broke. It's plain and simple. And so I think that's what's happening to the Jazz. I think we got too carried away in being cool, being politically correct, being whatever, and we lost focus on basketball as a basketball team. And it started at the top and it trickled its way down. I don't think Donovan wants to be here. I think for that reason you trade him. He might be under contract for a few years, and he's young and he's a superstar. Well, he's a star. And so his trade value is very, very high. But I don't think it's a big secret that he doesn't want to be here and that we won't be able to keep him long term. That's the issue with Utah. We can't keep players long term. My buddy John Heath, who just had a birthday, by the way, happy birthday, John. He texted me a few days ago and was just asking about this whole thing. And he's like, why can't we? What are we going to do with Donovan? I said, the truth is, dude, nobody wants to stay in Utah. Like, outside of Stockton and Malone, which is, that's an era that's just in the distant past at this point. That's ancient history. But we had Gordon Hayward, and he's, like, not a superstar. We couldn't keep him. Then we get Donovan Mitchell. We draft him, and he's, like, this savior replacement to Gordon Hayward. And it's very clear that he doesn't want to be here either. He will leave at the end of his contract. He got stoked at this big fat contract because now he's like, shoot, like I'm set for life now. Like that last contract that Donovan signed, the last extension, set him up for his life, okay? So of course he's going to be excited about that. Of course he's going to jump in the pool fully clothed, right? He just made $100 million. But ultimately he doesn't want to be here. I think he views, that's what's so funny about this politically correct stuff. Is I've lived in Utah most of my life. Like, are there racist people in Utah? Of course. Are there racist people everywhere you go? Yes, of course. I think that there is a false narrative out there that Utah is somehow more racist than other places. And I just have not experienced that. And I've traveled the world all the way over. I've lived in 5 or 6 other states. In fact, maybe even more, like 7 or 8 other states for months, even years at a time. I've been to 50 plus countries. I can tell you with absolute certainty that there is not more racism in Utah than there is in other places. They're just not. But Ryan Smith acted like there was. He acted big time like there was. And so when the owner is acting like it, of course the younger players are going to embrace it and be like, yeah, screw this place, you know? So I think there's a big part of Donovan Mitchell that wants out, and I think that plays a role. And it's too bad because Utah is a great place to live. Donovan is absolutely adored and loved and revered here in Utah, worshipped. And it's just too bad that I think he views it as not good enough for him. He wants to go, he's been in the playoffs year after year after year, and he wants to go play for a losing franchise in the New York Knicks. Literally, they have maybe the biggest advantage in the history of sports, the New York Knicks do, and they never even make the playoffs. Like, that's the most dysfunctional, broken franchise out there. And that's the franchise that he wants to go to. Fine, go. I just don't think we should trade with them. I think we should get another team involved, do some sort of three-way trade where we end up getting real value back, like an actual superstar back. Because these draft picks are ridiculous. Because what does it do for Utah? We already drafted Donovan. We already drafted Gordon Hayward. We couldn't hold on to either one of them. So I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I don't mean to be a naysayer, but to me, you know, change is good, but we're clearly digressing. So it's like, darn, we gotta digress in order to progress. And I would have liked to see that we could just progress from where we were at because we had 2 stars in their 20s. There's not many teams in the league that have 2 all-stars in their 20s. The Jazz are one of them. They now don't. Okay, moving on. Oh, that's the other thing I wanted to say. One last thing. I had mentioned we needed to get a legit scorer to join Donovan Mitchell. We didn't do that. That's another reason why I think we need to let him go. We're not going to be able to keep him long term. And if we're being totally honest, he's also kind of proven to not be that guy. I don't think he's that guy. So I do think we should trade him at this point, only because of, mainly because we didn't get anything real significant for Rudy Gobert. And so, like, right now, we'd for sure be worse than we were last year. So might as well just start fresh. But I want to get real stars. I want to get an actual star in place of Donovan Mitchell. Let's package other guys with him and go get like an actual superstar, if possible. Easier said than done. Okay, moving on. So let's talk about Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Russell Westbrook. I'm going to start with Russell Westbrook, actually. This guy, apparently this morning, it was announced that he's no longer working with his agent of 14 years, same agent he's had since he came into the league. And it's because of irreconcilable differences. This is like a divorce. This is a legit divorce. So he's got a new, well, he doesn't have an agent, I don't think, yet, but he will soon. But apparently Russell Westbrook's agent was urging him to stick with the Lakers and to like embrace his role in Los Angeles as the starting point guard of the Lakers. And He doesn't want to. Apparently he wants out, and it's like, dude, they already want you out, and nobody wants you. Like, no teams in the league want you. Like, your draft, or not your draft, your trade stock is already so low, and you just made it lower by letting it known that you want out. Because anytime a player wants out, their trade value drops. Like, the value you can get in return for them is immediately less because the other teams know, like, we already know he doesn't want to be there. We already know you have to trade him. And so we don't want to give you as much. No, we don't, because you have to get rid of him. Well, Russell Westbrook, nobody wanted you already. So now nobody really wants you. Like, the Lakers are in a tough spot there because he's very difficult. And this sucks because I actually like Russell Westbrook a lot. Like, I just love the way he plays from a tenacity standpoint. I hate the fact that he hasn't developed a shot. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I hate the fact that he's turnover prone and doesn't try and work on it at all. I hate the fact that he's stubborn and hard-headed and just seems to want to keep doing it his way, even though it's proving to not work. There's a lot of things about his game that I don't like, trust me. But I love how hard he plays. I absolutely love how hard he plays. I love that he's got a chip on his shoulder and plays his butt off night in and night out. I just wish he'd put that same energy into practicing shooting in the offseason so that he could come back and be like, hey, guess what? I can shoot the three now. Guess what? I can shoot a real jumper now. Guess what? I can dribble a little bit better. Guess what? I'm not going to throw it into the stands four times a game. That's what they need from him. But I don't think he's doing that. He's content just to get triple doubles and say that that's good enough. But so we'll see. We'll see what happens with Russell Westbrook. The Lakers are in a really rough spot because he's difficult. I don't think all of the stuff is his fault. I've gone on record a bunch saying, look, LeBron is the one that consistently makes other players worse, even though he's somehow there's a narrative that makes other players better. I can go through player after player that he made worse. Chris Bosh, way worse with LeBron James. Kevin Love, way worse with LeBron James. Russell Westbrook, worse with LeBron James than he's ever been in his career. And so, and even the role players, I went through a bunch of role players, you know, Rodney Hood and what's his name? Not Paul George, but George Smith, is it? I'm blanking right now, but there's a number of players, a number of them that you can go through and you can verifiably prove that they are worse with LeBron James than they are without him. And so I don't think it's all on Russ. Anthony Davis is worse with LeBron James. Let's be honest. His worst years of his career have been with the Lakers. Let's just be real. So, so we'll see what happens there. But LeBron James is going on his little TV show thing, saying that it's a win now or bust mentality, and it's causing sleepless nights, you know, to share the locker room or the franchise, whatever, with people who don't share that same mentality, and how he wishes he could just be a golfer or a tennis player, meaning I don't want to have teammates. I don't want to have other people I work with. I just want it to be me. No owner, no general manager, no coach, literally just you. And I can understand that from an entrepreneurial standpoint, business standpoint. I can actually get behind that mentality where sometimes you absolutely love the team aspect and you need it and it lifts you up. And other times you just wish, dang, I wish I could do this by myself and not have to rely on other people. So I understand that from LeBron. But him saying that, it's like he's always trying to force his hand. He's always trying to play this game of chess, force his hand with the front office. And the Lakers are like, dude, you are the one that wanted Russell Westbrook. We gave him to you, and it didn't work, and now it's his fault? It's like there's always a scapegoat for LeBron, and I'm kind of sick of it. But the other big talk is the Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant thing. Like, what's going to happen with these guys? Kyrie Irving opted in to his last year of his contract with Brooklyn. And we all thought that meant him and KD were going to run it back. Well, KD then immediately requests a trade, which makes you think that Kyrie's like, I still want to get traded, but I'm going to opt in and then you can trade me. And Kevin Durant wants out. And there's talk that he might go back to the Warriors. What? Really, KD? Like, KD is one of the biggest disappointments in the long, long time in the NBA. This guy is an absolute stud of a basketball player, an absolute superstar, one of the top players that the league's seen in the last 20 years. Like, in the last 20 years, he's like a top three guy in that time frame, okay? Maybe even top two, him and LeBron, period, end of list, right? Because Kobe was at the tail end of his, last 20 years, that takes you back to like the early Kobe and LeBron. It's like those three, right? Kevin Durant. So the point is, Kevin Durant's an absolute superstar. He's a game changer to any franchise he goes to. By the way, there's talk of Russell Westbrook going to Utah. Wouldn't that be interesting? But Kevin Durant's the guy where it's like, there's so much talent there. And he's kind of like ruining his legacy by being such a diva and such an insecure weirdo with burner accounts on Twitter and among other things, demanding trades, joining the superstar team of the Warriors. Like, there's so many decisions he made that were the wrong decision. And I think I would add this to the list. It's like, dude, you were the one, you just collected like $120 million from these guys and you played like the equivalent of a season and a half and you won one playoff series and you won out. Like, if I'm the owner, I'm like, good freaking riddance, dude. Get out of here. Like, I'd be so frustrated if I was an NBA owner, the way the league's going right now. Like, contracts are meaningless to players. It's very, very frustrating. Even as a fan, I'm like, oh, good. Musical chairs again. It's kind of fun as a podcaster because it's like, oh, look what it gives me to talk about. But Kevin Durant wants out, and he'll get out. He'll get traded. Ironically, I don't think the market's as, like, hot as it maybe was expected it would be. Obviously, everybody wants him, but he's definitely at the very end of his prime, and he's also, for three seasons straight now, dealt with pretty significant injuries and a bunch of little bang-up type injuries that take him out of games for, you know, weeks at a time. And so you got an injury-prone guy who's not exactly the best, you know, mentally, not exactly a great leader in the locker room, and he's at the tail end of his prime dealing with injuries. It's like, nah, we'll stick with our guys. And you got to pay him $50 million a year, you know, is what it'll end up being. So not a huge market there that I think people expected. But he's under contract for several years. So it's like, well, maybe him and Kyrie are forced to run it back. Are they going to pout their way out like James Harden did? I don't know. That's where I'd be really frustrated if I was an NBA owner. It's very frustrating to watch. So I don't know what's going to happen to him and Kyrie. If I'm an NBA GM, I want nothing to do with Kyrie Irving. That guy is one of the most overrated players in NBA history. I did a podcast about that just a couple weeks ago. I wouldn't touch him. I would not touch him. I don't want him. I wouldn't want Russell Westbrook, unfortunately, with his attitude and his diminishing play. I wouldn't want him either. I want the young stars. I would want to hang on to a guy like Donovan Mitchell, but he doesn't want to be there. And so it's like, what do you freaking do? I don't know. I think the NBA needs to change something, though, because there's all these, like, the balance of power is so out of whack. It's like this, the ultimate cheat code just to be in a city that has a bigger population. Los Angeles, New York, Miami, San Francisco. Like, the list goes on and on. It's like, if you're in a big market, you just have an advantage. Guys want to be there. And something needs to change. I don't know what it is. Like, maybe they make some sort of rule with sponsorship stuff, because clearly you can get bigger local sponsors. Nike's going to pay you regardless, right? But you can get bigger local sponsors, obviously, in bigger cities. Nike and those companies will actually probably pay you more if you're in a big city, because you're going to naturally be a little bit bigger of a star. Like, if Donovan Mitchell was as beloved in New York as he is in Utah, obviously his fan base would be like 10x what it is, right? Like, there'd be 10 times the number of jerseys sold of his, maybe 10 times the number of shoes locally sold as there are. So I can see that, you know, that's the draw, right? For all of them, it's business, it's money. But the NBA as a business needs to protect its product. And there's only so many Giannis Antetokounmpos out there that are going to go to a small market, smaller market, and stay there and win a championship. It's very rare. Tim Duncan, you know, like, it's very rare that players do that. They bounce around. LeBron went back to Cleveland and won one, but the second he could get out, he bounced and went to Miami, won a couple of championships, and then felt like, oh, I kind of owe it to these guys. That's my hometown. I'm going to go back. And he acted like he was there for good. He was not. He won a championship and bounced to greener pastures again for more money in Los Angeles. I don't blame the players, but if you're the NBA, protect your product in some way by putting something in place that levels the playing field at least a little bit more for these smaller market teams, because it is very overwhelmingly skewed in favor of the large market teams when you look at championships and super teams. They're all in big markets, all of them. You get the occasional Milwaukee Bucks, the occasional San Antonio Spurs, even the Toronto Raptors, like that's a massive city, right? And they got lucky with injuries to both Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. So I don't know. Something needs to be done. Guys, that's all the time I have for today. I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but that's NBA free agency. We'll talk more next week. Please hit that subscribe button. I am out. Peace. We got the strength.
Thanks for hanging with Simply the Best Sports Take. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and check out stbsportstake.com. Simply the best in sports. 'Cause we are